welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's your rush hour commute of free speech, because you get stuck in it. You do get stuck in RBN with all the great hosts. We have the best hosts from around the country and around the world. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage. You can send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. All right. What I guess was Dr. Duke's Wednesday show, I think it was his Wednesday show, we had a bit of a talk, and, one of the points where we don't exactly see eye to eye is on the intent or evilness or whatever of, say, elite Jews who are powerful and are kind of the locomotive of, or the nexus of Jewish power. Can you say that? And I'm taking an agnostic view towards it. Like, I just don't know. We're talking about George Soros. I don't know what's in his heart. Elon Musk says he hates humanity. Does he hate humanity? Well, at least David came to the point to admit, well, he probably doesn't hate at least 0.2% of humanity. I don't know. I don't pretend to know what's in people's hearts. I was making the case that people, myself, and presumably a lot of Jewish individuals that I come into contact with, have the ability to, and a lot of other people, to compartmentalize and to have ideas perhaps about groups of people, but still deal with individuals as individuals. We're talking about that. That's not the main thing I want to talk about today, though, but it is part of it. Actually, I don't know why I even brought it up. The main thing I want to talk about, at least for right now, is the existence or non-existence of a centralized structure, a central command structure, either for Jews or for the secret world government, one or the other. And I've said some things about this in the past, probably maybe similar, maybe using a very different example, but I say you look at, maybe it was this example, I don't know, you look at Ukraine and you look at the debacle there, and I think it's, like I have said since the beginning of this, I think the there was never an intention to defeat Russia on the battlefield. I don't think they ever thought that the Ukrainian army, with whatever weaponry the West can send them, would really defeat Russia on the battlefield. Maybe there were some people who thought that, but I think the people who really were instrumental in getting this war going, people like Victoria Nuland or Vladimir Zelensky, I don't think they ever thought that they were going to defeat the Russian military on the battlefield. I think the idea was to provoke Russia into an invasion of Ukraine. They could then be used as a pretext for imposing unprecedented, sweeping, and universally applied economic sanctions that would produce such hardship for the Russian people that they would overthrow the government of Vladimir Putin. I think that was the plan. And other people agree with me. I was the first person I heard say it, but I'm sure that there are other people who probably thought the same thing independently of mine, of me. And I think that was the plan all along. And I think actually that plan might have worked if it had been implemented 4 years earlier, and it might have been implemented 4 years earlier had Hillary Clinton become president rather than Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump was elected on a platform of trying to make friends with Russia, and he wasn't able to. In fact, things got worse under his administration, and he made some mistakes, but mainly he just lost in a struggle with the whole Russia hoax tying his hands, and I'm sure he could have done better, but at any rate, what you did not get under his administration was the start of a war or a proxy war in Ukraine. You didn't get that. And those 4 years allowed Russia to continue with its program of import substitution, which made its economy more resilient and resistant to sanctions. And also, in those 4 years, the economic relations with China improved greatly. And I think if you were to go back to 2012 or 2008 or 2014 even, I don't think anybody could have predicted the very good relations, the extent to which the relations between Russia and China have improved. I don't think anybody would have necessarily predicted that, but it's happened. And because of the improved relations with China, and because Russia showed I think they showed restraint in the invasion. They could have done a blitzkrieg. They didn't. They've showed a lot of restraint, and I think that enabled China to support Russia, at least tacitly support Russia. It didn't engage in the sanctions, and when China didn't engage in the sanctions, other important countries like India and Indonesia and Saudi Arabia and Turkey and other important countries, they could follow suit and not participate in the sanctions. You've heard me say this. What am I getting at? What I'm getting at is that really, for all intents and purposes, the war was lost in the early weeks when it became clear that the economic sanctions were not going to be applied by the entire international community, but simply by the United States and its allies / satellites in, you know, Europe, in Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. I mean, if you want to consider Canada a country. So the strategy for overthrowing Vladimir Putin failed, and it failed over a year ago, and it was clear. I mean, the longer the war went on, the worse the results would be for the Ukrainian people. There would be more dead Ukrainians, more territory lost, more buildings and infrastructure destroyed. And yet they continue. And, of course, why do they continue? Well, for one thing, the architects of the war don't care about the Ukrainian people. This was never about protecting the Ukrainian people or supporting Ukraine as a nation or any of that. It was always about using Ukraine as a sacrificial pawn in order to get to Russia and Putin. And that failed. But because Zelensky or Victoria Nuland or Blinken, these are, frankly, they're all a bunch of Jews, and Jews historically do not have a good relationship with Ukrainians. They don't have any better relationship with Ukrainians than they do with Russians. It's just that it's not that they hate the Russians more than they hate the Ukrainians. It's just that Putin is viewed as a boogeyman. Putin, who came to power supposedly to be a puppet of the Jewish oligarchs, but he turned on them and betrayed them, and that cannot be that cannot stand. And so, it's not that the Jews like the Ukrainians and hate the Russians. They have had bad relations with both Ukrainians and Russians, historically very bad relations. And so do they really care if hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians die in this? They really don't care. I'm sorry. They don't care. When I say they, Zelensky, does he care? Does he care? It doesn't seem he cares. Victoria Nuland doesn't seem she cares. So they're continuing it. But why? I mean, okay, they don't care. What else is there? Well, here's the other thing. This, of course, it's But the thing is, it's not just that it's bad for Ukrainians. If it was just that it was bad for Ukrainians and bad for Russians, then that would explain why they continue it. But the thing is, it's bad for the countries where they have their base of power. It's been very bad for Europe, but it's also bad for the United States. And, you know, strategically, if you are a neocon, I'm not just talking about like a regular American, I'm not talking about what should be considered America's national interest. I'm talking about really like the neocon project. If you're on board with the neocon project, this is still a disaster because you're getting your two biggest enemies, Russia and China, you've gotten them to be improve relations with each other, like I said earlier, to the extent that nobody would have predicted this, but it's happened. So it's a disaster. It's a disaster even from a neocon point of view, and yet it continues. And so this is the question. Well, why does it continue, even though it's a disaster for the West? Is it just that they're stupid? I don't think it's just that they're stupid. I don't think people are, you know, people in charge of government, people behind the scenes, I don't think any of them are nearly as smart as a lot of people want to give them credit for. I'm not saying they're stupid, but are they that much smarter than RBN hosts and listeners, for instance? Are they? Are they really that much smarter? Right? The thing is, the typical RBN host and caller, at least, seem to think that these people are really, really smart, that there is a, you know, there are these masterminds behind the scene. I think a lot of them think that. And I don't think so. I don't think they're that smart. I'm not saying they're stupid, but I don't think they're that super smart. But here's the other thing. I just don't see, like I've said, some sort of centralized structure. I don't see a centralized command structure. If there was a centralized command structure, I guess the point I was making before, a few months ago, if there was a centralized command structure, they would learn from their mistakes. And they don't seem to learn from their mistakes. Here's what I'm saying about today. If there were a centralized command structure, they would change course. And they're not changing course. And why aren't they changing course? And here's the thing. If you are Zelensky, the individual Zelensky, if you are the individual Victoria Nuland or Tony Blinken or Wendy Sherman or you know, even non-Jews, can you switch course? You really can't switch course without sacrificing your career, for the most part. You know, there are people who have been on the wrong side of things, and, you know, like Hillary Clinton, for instance, who supported the Iraq war and the invasion, and then later was able to say, oh, well, the intelligence was bad, was able to shirk the responsibility off to nameless intelligence bureaucrats, and was able to get away with it. And so that type of thing can happen. But, you know, she only did that years later. Can Victoria Nuland, if she was to try to change course on this war, is there a future for her? Could she remain in her office? Wouldn't she get thrown under the bus, right? If they actually changed direction, wouldn't there be people who say, hey, wait a minute, didn't we send like well over $100 billion worth of weaponry and blank checks to Zelensky and the Ukrainian government and destroy a whole bunch of stuff and blow up the Germany's pipeline and do all these things, and now you're saying, oh, never mind? Could she get away with that? Wouldn't she, as an individual, just lose her career? And doesn't she, as an individual, not want to lose her career? And you can say the same for Zelensky. I mean, how can Zelensky after saying, you know, he's not going to negotiate with Putin and going around the world and getting all these weapons and sending all these people into meat grinder, how can he then negotiate a peace? How can he? How can he? People would say, well, what was this all about? The people in Ukraine would say, well, what was all this about? Why did we have to lose, you know, hundreds of thousands? I guess by now you're talking about, if you're adding deaths and casualties together, certainly hundreds of thousands. If you're, have we reached 200,000 deaths yet? I'm not sure. It's hard to keep track. But that's a lot of people. A lot of towns and cities have been destroyed. And how can he just say, oh, okay, well, what can he say? Oh, well, we got our pride. What did we get out of it? He can't. He can't turn around. These people don't have a reverse. Now, if they were simply puppets, they could be replaced. If they were simply puppets. And I'm not saying they're completely independent actors, but there's kind of a mixture there. Zelensky, how did he get into office? He got into office with the backing of Igor Kolomoisky. Well, what's Igor Kolomoisky up to now? I mean, he's not involved now. I couldn't tell you all the details off the top of my head, but he's basically been betrayed by Zelensky. Zelensky's going in his own direction. Zelensky has a new base of support. He doesn't need Kolomoisky anymore. He's got other backers. He's got backers in the State Department. He's got backers in the international media. He's got backers in Whitehall. Is that what you call it? 10 Downing Street in Britain. He's got backers in Germany. So he's got backers. He didn't need Kolomoisky anywhere. So he wasn't simply a puppet of Kolomoisky. And can he simply be disposed of? He could be thrown under the bus, but then who throws him under the bus? Who's in a position to throw him under the bus? Joe Biden? You know, then, like, at some point, like, after Joe Biden and the whole American establishment says that Zelensky is Churchill. I'm not that most RBN listeners are fans of Churchill, but they say, you know, he's Churchill. He's Churchill in a skin-tight green T-shirt, right? Can you imagine Churchill in a skin-tight green T-shirt? That would not be a pretty sight. At least Zelensky hits the gym from time to time. No, I mean, but if everybody was just a puppet, they would be replaced. But they can't. They just can't be replaced that easily. Even if people want to throw them under the bus, it's not always that simple. Joe Biden, I mean, he's a buffoon, and he's you know, a pervert, right? He's a child molester and a pervert, and he's senile and he's a buffoon. And when I say senile, I mean he's somewhat senile. He's not completely senile. But, you know, there's a he's part of a team, Team Biden, and these people on Team Biden, Blinken and Yellen and these people, would they be like, okay, so if you throw Biden under the bus and you wind up with primaries, and even if you rig the primaries in favor of a favorite candidate like Gavin Newsom, is Gavin Newsom simply going to replace Biden, but the rest of these people stay in place? Yellen and Blinken and the vicious Merrick Garland and Alejandro Mayorkas and all these other people who matter, are they just going to stay in place? That's not the way it works. There's going to be new individuals coming in. So these individuals who are happy with their jobs, I mean, Merrick Garland seems to really get a kick, thrills out of throwing just regular white people into prisons and letting them languish there. He likes that. Do you think he wants to give it up? If you did have this command structure, yeah, these people would be replaced. They would be replaced if you had a central command structure.
Thank you. I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Throwing just regular white people into prisons and letting them languish there, he likes that. Do you think he wants to give it up? If you did have this command structure, yeah, these people would be replaced. They would be replaced if you had a central command structure. But you don't. You don't have a central command structure. They're not being replaced. I mean, I've heard over the years all sorts of things about, like, the secret government. David Rockefeller runs it, or Papa Bush, or Henry Kissinger. Well, okay, David Rockefeller and Papa Bush, they're dead now. Henry Kissinger's 100 years old, but he's still kicking. And he's still talking. And Henry Kissinger doesn't seem to like what's going on. And he seems to be trying to pour some water on this thing and get people to wake up and smell coffee. Not that he's based or on our side or anything. But Henry Kissinger recognizes that this is a huge mistake. Noam Chomsky, who's also, he's in his 90s, well into his 90s. And he's speaking out against this, he sees it as a big mistake. He's kind of the A-team. Jeffrey Sachs, who's younger and more energetic, and he's going around, and definitely, I mean, people who, I mean, I think an awful lot of people who matter, who are smart, in these cases, smart Jews, but not just Jews, realize that this is going off the rails, but I mean, who's in this secret government, in this centralized command structure? Who attends these Elders of Zion meetings? because they're not replacing these people. And so what you get these explanations sometimes saying, well, yeah, because this is part of the plan. Anything that happened was part of a plan. Because anything that happens is part of the plan. And so then, and these people are just all smart and all knowing and all powerful. And so it's going very well. Oh, well, they want to just burn down the West and move their operations to Russia and China. And she and Putin are just, they're puppets too. They're just all puppets. Right? Didn't you see Putin standing with Chabad Lubavitch people? Didn't Mao have a Jewish finance minister? Well, no, he didn't. But, I mean, they'll say these things. These just spurious, insignificant little connections between, Russia, China, whoever else, and a Jew somewhere. And that is proof that, no, this is actually all part of the plan. It's all going very smoothly. They want to destroy the West and move their operations to Russia and China for some reason. Right. I mean, they build up these massive power structures in America and in Europe, but they just want to burn it down for some reason. I don't know. It just makes no sense. What does make sense is that I'm not saying that Zelensky and Victoria Nuland are completely independent actors. Victoria Nuland got her position because she is liked by a lot of important people in the American elite. She's liked by the Clintons. She probably would have been Hillary Clinton's Secretary of State. And she's married to Robert Kagan, who's got a think tank and was, tied into these neocons who brought us the second Gulf War, the Iraq invasion. They brought us this. So she's got these ties, and she's a representative for these people. It's not like she got it just by sheer force of personality. And like I said, Zelensky, he got it. He was a creation of Igor Kolomoisky, who was one of the rich. I don't think he's the richest, but he was one of the richest people in Ukraine, and a media magnate. And so these people. They can get into positions as puppets, but that doesn't mean that they're necessarily just going to continue to do whatever they're told. Putin didn't. Putin didn't. You'd have to weave a very, very convoluted story in order to say that somehow, Putin and Trump, that this is all part of some grand plan. I mean, the thing is, these people, even, you want to think of them as puppets, but they didn't just come out of nowhere. So you take Victoria Nuland. I mean, could they have just taken anybody from anywhere and put he or she into that position? No. I mean, Victoria Nuland, she's 61 years old, and she has spent her career, almost all of her career, at the State Department. She's come up through the ranks at the State Department. So she was in the late 1980s, she went off to Mongolia as part of the first U.S. embassy in Mongolia. In like the early 2000s, she was the foreign policy advisor that the State Department supplied to Dick Cheney, right? So, and, very convenient. She also happened to be the, the wife of Robert Kagan, who was involved with Dick Cheney and his chief of staff, Scooter Libby. And, there are all these pre-existing connections.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Happened to be the, you know, like I said, the wife of Robert Kagan, who was involved with, you know, Dick Cheney and his chief of staff, Scooter Libby. And, you know, so there, I mean, there are all these pre-existing connections. Like, okay, so Cheney's chief of staff is Scooter Libby, and Scooter Libby is a Zionist Jew. And did he recommend that the State Department supply Victoria Nuland? I don't know if he did or not. Maybe he did, but it's the type of thing. But it goes on. So in 2008, Victoria Nuland was the U.S. ambassador to NATO. Okay, so she's America's point man at NATO. What was going on in 2008? Oh, they were trying to get Ukraine into NATO. Yeah, I mean, that's when they first started extending this stuff. So it's not as if... you know, just anybody could have been plopped into Victoria Nuland's position and done this. It's not as if nobody else could have, but not just anybody. So she's got this career path. You know, in the case of Vladimir Zelensky, he was a popular entertainer, and so he was somebody who had already had a following. And Kolomoisky could use him and put him into this TV program and build him up as a credible presidential character, right? Because the character in the TV program was a high school teacher, became president, right? So, I mean, these people, even if you want to say they come into office as puppets, they didn't just materialize out of thin air, right? And
300 meters. Can
So with Victoria Nuland, so she came in. Even if you want to say that she came in as more or less a puppet, they couldn't have just gotten anyone. And she came in, and she does have some agency. And she's not going to just fall on her sword. And they can throw her under the bus, but there are costs to that. And even though it's just so obvious that they need to reverse course on this whole Ukraine thing, that's not really an option for her. She doesn't have that option. For her, it makes more sense to just double down, cross her fingers, and hope for the best. She doesn't have a reverse gear. A reverse gear is to admit defeat now. And you can look around your own life, maybe your own personal experience or just what you've seen from other people, and there are people who are clearly on the wrong path, but they just... they have no choice. They have to keep doing what they're doing. They feel they have to keep doing what they're doing because to admit that they made a mistake carries too many costs. Now, in the case of Zelensky, for Zelensky to just keep throwing people into this meat grinder, well, what could he get out of it? Well, by continuing this war and by getting all of this money and weaponry sent to Ukraine, just like this blank check, even if he knows that a year from now there's no possible scenario where he's still president of Ukraine, there's a scenario where he is living in exile in Israel or Miami or wherever. And the longer this goes on, the more he can enrich himself, the more he can, just skim off of this massive $100 billion in aid, hundreds of billions. He can absolutely enrich himself, and he is. And, that goes for him. That goes for the people around him. So even if it makes no sense in the big scheme of things for these people as individuals, it does make sense, and they're not pure puppets. And here's the other thing. Did anybody need to tell Victoria Nuland what to do? You can say she's a puppet, but was she put in because they knew? And when I say put in, people are put in. People are appointed. She was appointed by Biden, maybe with the advice of Tony Blinken, and confirmed by the Senate. And did she get that job because they knew that she was just going to follow orders exactly? And then, if need be, just fall on her sword because they put her in because she has that kind of loyalty? No. She was put in because what she wanted to do was what they wanted to have happen. I mean, when I'm saying they, it sounds as if I think there's a secret government. And I don't look at it as a secret government. I look at it as there's kind of a broad consensus that there is an agenda that who's the they? The they here is the Biden transition team. That's who the they is here. It's not always the Biden transition team. The Biden transition team wasn't running the world, but the Biden transition team was selecting personnel. And the Biden transition team was dominated by Jews. I mean, Ron Klain would have been there, obviously. I think he was probably one of the first people. Tony Blinken had been working for Biden during the election. He had been his foreign policy advisor. So people like Klain and Blinken brought in Nuland because, not because of her extreme loyalty, but because they knew that she didn't need to be told what to do. She wanted this kind of plan anyway. I think she had the plan in the first place. Shall I try to use a sports analogy? Let's see if I can do that. Probably a lot of people are familiar with football, and they have a huddle after every play. Almost every play. Sometimes they go no huddle. And a play is drawn up, and maybe it's drawn up by the coach and sent in. Maybe it's the quarterback that you see on the field. And, some games are played like that. The catcher and the pitcher in baseball, there's a plan every time. The catcher gives a signal, the pitcher accepts it or he doesn't. Basketball,
you can have plays. You know, sometimes the coach calls a timeout, draws up a play, and then they try to execute the play. And, but you know, especially if you're playing pickup basketball, you run up and down the floor. You don't have a play. You don't have anything drawn up. People might know their roles. You know, there might be, okay, you're going to defend this man, you know, on defense. You take this man, or we're going to play zone. But, you know, basically you're just flying by the seat of your pants. You might have a role. You might be somebody who's going to take the ball up the court. It might be somebody who's going to camp out close to the basket or something like that. But you're kind of flying by the seat of your pants. But people might know their role. And I think, is this an analogy? I think this is how things tend to work. All right, so I said that Victoria Nuland, who appointed her, it was the Biden transition team. Well, how did Biden transition team get into such a position? Well, you know, they were the beneficiaries of a rigged election. Who rigged the election? Well, was it centrally rigged? Actually, it was kind of like on a state-by-state basis. Some states, the governors implemented, or the secretaries of state, the executive department implemented this plan, like to have mail-in voting. Other places they had, it was at the courts. It was all kind of piecemeal. And, you know, the media played a role. It was all kind of piecemeal. I don't know why it is, but there just seems to be this desire to have everything, to think of everything as being centrally planned. And are our lives like that? I mean, how often are you directed that you got to do something? Well, maybe if you're in the military, you are. But, you know, in my life, people know their roles, and in general, you know what you're more or less what you're supposed to do. You don't have to be told what to do all the time. I think that, I think Jews dominate society, but they don't necessarily even make up the majority of the elite, right? They don't. Well, they don't make, not necessarily. They absolutely don't make up the majority of the elite. But what they do make up, they make up a critical mass whereby virtually nothing important can happen without them being on that side. And part of what gives them added importance, even over their overrepresentation. So they're overrepresented, vastly overrepresented in the elite. But then within the elite, they have clout that exceeds their overrepresented numbers even. And that's because they have cohesion. That, not that they're all on board with the exact same agenda, but that they do, by and large, more than other groups, tend to have this group cohesion. They tend to think in terms of what's good for their group. Maybe some other groups do that. Maybe blacks do it. I don't know how much Hispanics even really think of themselves as a group. I don't know. How much do Dominicans or Puerto Ricans care about what's good for Cubans and Mexicans? I don't know. Do they? I wouldn't know. How much would Filipino Americans care what happens to Korean Americans? Do they really? I don't know. I doubt it. Jews, though, there is this cohesion, and there, to a great extent. It's not absolute, but it is relatively more than others, and therefore, this critical mass that they make up, nothing important happens without Jews, for the most part, in general. Very little important happens without Jews. Sometimes they lose. But, they're not all powerful, but these things like Black Lives Matter and the coronavirus response and the war in Ukraine and trannyism and gayness and mass immigration, all of these things, none of these things would have happened if it wasn't for Jewish elite support for it. Now, you could also say, well, it wouldn't have happened, the Jews couldn't have done it by themselves. The Jewish support's not sufficient, but they are able to cobble together an alliance with other groups and people acting as individuals. And, you know, so you'll have, let's just say you have an individual, let's just say you have a woman of Scottish ancestry, and she's a professor at Ohio State University, and she teaches anthropology, and she's in an environment where the incentive structure is such that she is going to have a Black Lives Matter sign on her lawn, and she's going to care about, you know, immigrant rights and this type of stuff, and, you know, protect trans kids, and so they have these incentives. Now, with the Jews, why do the Jews have such high ethnocentrism? And, you know, one thing is they are related to each other. The Ashkenazis come from a very small gene pool. They went through this genetic bottleneck. They have this history together. They have this culture. And here's the thing. So I do push back at people saying that this is evil, that they have, that, you know, they do what they do out of malevolence, out of evil. I don't think that's the case. I think the case is they do what they do out of paranoia. And if you have a certain level of paranoia, then these behaviors are rational. They're not irrational. They don't require hate. You look at the stories from their religion about, you know, they're always got their back up against the wall, you know, the Hanukkah story and this and that. You look at the stories that come through the Middle Ages, or, you know, stories of, being kicked out of all these countries, stories of pogroms, always having these pogroms. And then, of course, to cap it all off, the 20th century, the Holocaust. So I think that they have a culture of victimization, and this feeds into it. I think that over generations and generations, people who... I mean, okay, here's one thing. So it is often said, and I don't dispute, that Ashkenazi Jews have a higher than average IQ, that they have, they're genetically prone to high IQ. And why would this be the case? Well, supposedly it's the case because they wound up, for whatever reason, being funneled into occupations that required mathematics, that required foreign language skills and other things. And those that had the skills survived, or rabbis, right? Rabbis had the high verbal IQ. Those that had the requisite skills reproduced much more than those that didn't, and so they got the high IQ. That's supposedly it. Maybe it's something else, but there does seem to be something to this high IQ. Well, if they could get high IQ because of, natural selection given their environment, they could get other traits. And I would say that they picked up paranoia, too. And you look at the culture. It is a culture of paranoia. And if, there are those who left, you know, there are Ashkenazi or Sephardic Jews who wound up leaving Judaism, maybe through choice, sometimes because the goyim, like in the Spanish Inquisition or whatnot, the goyim forced them to convert. And some converted and stayed converted and maybe forgot about their Jewish heritage. Others went crypto. But, that's one thing. I don't think the Jews ever forced the goyim to convert, you know, with the possible and unlikely exception of, Khazars or something. But... So at any rate, I think you wound up with a you know, fast forward to the 20th century, not just high IQ, but also high levels of paranoia. I think that Jews feel that if they're not in control of, basically in control of the world, certainly in control of their own, of the countries that they're dwelling in, that they will be holocausted. And it's life or death for them. That they've got a tiger by the...
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Basically in control of the world. Certainly in control of their own, of the countries that they're dwelling in, that they will be holocausted. And it's life or death for them. That they've got a tiger by the tail and they can't let go. And so they become very ruthless. And of course, this ruthlessness engenders anti-Semitism. Why wouldn't it? And so you get this cycle. Then there's anti-Semitism, and then the Jews said, see, everybody hates us for no reason. And, of course, the problem is there is a reason, and they're just blind to the reason. So, okay, so where am I going with this? because of this culture, because of these factors, they have a high level of paranoia and high levels of group identification, ethnocentrism. And this leads them to not only think in terms of what's good for the Jews, but also to tend to feel that what's bad for the Goyim is good for the Jews, and that there is something rational. If you are paranoid, then this is rational, actually. And so they're not motivated by hatred necessarily, they're motivated by fear. This is what I'm saying. And then you get the cohesion, and they are going to tend to act in ways that, well, they're going to tend to scheme against the Goyim, is what they're going to do. And they don't need to be instructed to do so. This is going to be their natural tendency. So they don't need to be instructed. They can play like a finely tuned pickup basketball team. They don't need to be coached. But on the other hand, because they are operating on a decentralized basis, they don't necessarily learn from their mistakes. And like I said, in the case of people like Victoria Nuland, they get into a position, they're still individuals. Even if they've got high levels of ethnocentrism, they're still individuals. And so you got people like Victoria Nuland or Vladimir Zelensky. They don't have a reverse gear. They've made their bed, and they're going to lie in it until somebody kicks them out. And they're not easy to kick out for, you know, reasons that I've explained. And so you've got this situation now with the war in the Ukraine where they screwed up, okay? They're not infallible. They're not infallible. They have screwed up, and the world is changing in a way that is not at all what they would see as being in their interest. Although, honestly, a world that is not run by Jews, a world that is multipolar with a lot of input from the Chinese and the Russians and others, is going to be a world that's really better for everybody. It's really going to be better for the Jews, too. It's, the Jews, when you get down to it, are their own worst enemy. Because where does anti-Semitism come from? It doesn't come from deep down in the souls of the Goyim. Anti-Semitism comes from the behavior of paranoid Jews who feel that what's bad for the Goyim is good for the Jews, because they operate in a psychology of paranoia and see the world in zero-sum terms. Okay, I think that's pretty much it for this episode. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.